But this morning we want to take a look at this man that is commonly called the Antichrist. He is the man of sin. He is the son of perdition. He is the beast. He is known by many names in the scripture. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the sixth world governing empires, according to Bible prophecy. The prophecies were given during the time of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, and his empire was to be the first world-dominating empire. But according to the prophecy of Daniel, it was to be replaced, and it was replaced by the Medo-Persian Empire, which in turn was replaced by the Grecian Empire, which in turn was replaced by the Roman Empire. Now, out of the Roman Empire, we saw that there were 10 horns that came out of the beast, or the 10 toes of the image. And these 10 horns represented 10 kings that would form the final world governing empire. And these were kings who had combined their powers. Coming out of the Roman Empire, related to the Roman Empire, it would indicate European nations who have combined their powers in the last days to form the final world-dominating government. Now, from the ten horns, there was an 11th horn that Daniel saw that came forth and destroyed 3 of the horns. And he was speaking blasphemous things. He describes this 11th horn in Daniel 7:25, and he tells us that he speaks great things against the Most High. And in Revelation chapter 17, John, in describing then this leader that is going to arise to rule over this global world that is coming, that he was to be one of the 7 emperors who once ruled in Rome. Now, when John wrote the book of Revelation, at that time there had been 5 Roman emperors. One was ruling at the time that John wrote, and he said that at that time there had been 5 Roman emperors. One was ruling at the time that John wrote, and he said that there was the 7th that was going to come, and then the 8th who would arise was of the 7. The beast that you saw, that is the Antichrist, he was, he is not. There were 7 emperors over the Roman Empire. 5 have already existed, 1 now is, and the other is yet to come. But the 8th is of the 7. So, as we look at those Roman emperors, one who had fallen before John wrote Revelation was Nero, who the early church had dubbed the beast, because of his unspeakable atrocities against the church. Men sometimes do such horrible things that it is hard to attribute them to men. You think there must be diabolical or demonic forces involved. When we are reading even now of some of the atrocities in Kuwait, it's hard to imagine one human being doing what they have done to other human beings. It's easier to believe that there are demonic powers that can take hold of an individual to depths of evil and darkness that are beyond just the natural abilities of man. And such was the case with Nero, so much so that I am convinced that Nero was possessed by an evil, diabolical spirit, a demonic spirit. And this Antichrist that is to come will be possessed by the same demonic spirit that possessed Nero. And Nero became sort of a type, so to speak, as was Antiochus Epiphanes, of this Antichrist, the man of sin. Now, we know that he comes with Satan's power. He comes with the forces and powers of darkness behind him. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 2, it declares that the dragon, or Satan, gave to him his power, his throne, and his authority. Now, Satan is the present ruler over, gave to him his power, his throne, and his authority. Now, Satan is the present ruler over the world. Man forfeited the earth to Satan in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus twice called Satan the prince of this world, and Paul refers to him as the god of this world. And Satan rules over the world. When Jesus came, Satan took him up into a high mountain and showed to him all of the kingdoms of the world, and he said, "All of these I will give to you and the glory of them if you will just bow down and worship me." Jesus did not dispute Satan's claim to have the kingdoms of the world in his control and his ability to give them to whomever he will. And though Jesus refused, because he had come to redeem the world back to God by the way of the cross, not by bowing to Satan, Satan now turns all of his authority, all of his power, his throne, over to the Antichrist, that he might rule over the earth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul tells us, "Whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." In Revelation chapter 17, we are told that this beast is to come out of the abuso, coming out of the pit. Now, when he comes into the world, he will be coming as a man of peace. He will be deceitful, clever. And the world will look upon him as a man of peace. One of his first great triumphs will be to create a treaty with the nation of Israel, to make this covenant with them, whereby they will be able to rebuild their temple and still have peace with the Muslims. Now, that is a neat trick. And it will take a man of clever abilities to bring to pass such an agreement, such a covenant. Now, Jesus said of him, "I came in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. Another is coming in his own name, and him you will receive," talking to the Jews. Today, if you talk to the Jews about the Messiah, first of all, they will tell you that they believe the Messiah is coming soon. They believe that the only hope for the continued existence of Israel is the coming of the Messiah. If you ask them about Jesus Christ, why they do not accept him as their Messiah, they will tell you, because he claimed to be the Son of God. As he said, "I've come in my Father's name, you didn't receive me," and they still reject him because he came in his Father's name. They say, we do not believe he's the Messiah because he claimed to be the Son of God, and we do not believe the Messiah will be the Son of God. We believe that the Messiah will be a man, as the prophecy of Moses declared, and there shall arise another prophet like unto myself, to him shall ye give heed. And so as Moses was a man, the Messiah will be a man. The next logical question to ask them is, how then will you recognize that he is the Messiah? And they are quick to answer, he will lead Israel in the rebuilding of the temple. So as Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. You didn't receive me. There's another who is going to come in his own name, and him you will receive. As he comes to make this covenant with Israel, giving them the permission and all to rebuild their temple, he will be hailed as the Jews, as a man of peace, and he will be hailed as their Messiah, and by the world they will say, this man is the answer to the prayers of the world. He is the world's Savior. He has brought us peace. And so we are told in Daniel that though he is a vile person, Daniel 11:21, he shall come in peaceably, and he will obtain the kingdom by flatteries. But once the nations have made their league with him, he will work deceitfully, and with just a few people he will become strong, but he will enter peaceably. Daniel 8:25 says, and by peace he shall destroy many. Now, this is that period of time in which the prophets tell us, and when they say peace and safety, beware, because then is coming great destruction. But he is going to enter the world and bring in an era of peace and prosperity. And he will capture the hearts of the people of the world by being able to bring peaceful solutions to many of the world's problems. But he will be a blasphemous person. Over and over, the scriptures tell us of how blasphemous he really is. Daniel 7:25, it says he speaks great words against the Most High, blasphemes God. Revelation 13:5, and he has a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. He will be able to work miracles. He will have satanic powers. First of all, he will survive miraculously an assassination attempt. It will seem that he has been wounded unto death, a mortal wound, and yet he survives miraculously. Revelation 13:3, John said, I saw his head that was wounded unto death, and his deadly wound was healed, so that all of the world wondered after the beast. Revelation 13:14, the false prophet who comes with him will suggest that they make an image of the beast, who was wounded by a sword and did yet live. In Zechariah 11:16, where the Antichrist is called the idle shepherd, he declares, woe to the idle shepherd that leaves the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and his right eye. His arm shall be dried up and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. And so an assassination attempt, but yet miraculously he survives, so that the whole world begins to wonder after this man. In Matthew 24, Jesus was talking to his disciples about the last days before he returned to the earth. And he said that there will be many messiahs and false prophets. Revelation 13, we read that there are two that are coming, the Antichrist and his false prophet, who causes the world to worship the Antichrist. And Jesus said there will arise false messiahs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. They will have such dynamic, miraculous, supernatural powers that if possible, even the elect will be deceived by them. 2 Thessalonians, again, chapter 2, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Speaking of this false prophet in Revelation 13, who encourages the world to worship the beast, it said, and he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of the miracles which he has power to do. So the miracles that he does is associated with his deception of the earth. And the deception is so great that if possible, even the elect would be deceived. Deception so great that God will allow people to be deceived by this man. We'll get to that in just a few moments. Now, he has an insatiable desire to be worshipped. He wants the world to worship him. Sort of like Saddam Hussein, seeking the worship of the people, setting himself up as a great hero, even announcing just the other day that they won the war. They drove the Allies out, you know. And so we are told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he opposes God and exalts himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Revelation 13:4, talking about the world, and they worshipped the dragon, Satan, which gave power to the beast, and they worshipped the beast. Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb. Revelation 13:12, the false prophet suggests an image be made of the beast. He gives power to the image to speak, and then they cause as many as refuse to worship the image be put to death. Daniel 11:37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor regard any God, for he will magnify himself above all. So with powers, supernatural signs, miracles, this man will bring peace to the earth, and he will be worshipped and adored by the earth as the Savior. You see, Satan knows that Jesus is coming again to set up the sixth kingdom, God's kingdom upon the earth. And knowing that Jesus is coming again to establish God's eternal kingdom, Satan will offer his counterfeit. Just before the return of Jesus Christ, Satan will bring his Messiah, his counterfeit Savior, who will deceive the world, and the world will believe that this is the Messiah, and this is the New Age. We're coming into the New Age, the glorious New Age, led by this Messiah, and they will worship this man and hail him as the Messiah. He rules over the fifth kingdom, which will be destroyed and will end in the greatest bloodshed the world has ever seen. But then will be brought in the sixth kingdom, the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, who will come again. So, as we try and take sort of a composite view of this man, We find that he comes on the world as the leader of the Confederation of European Nations. He will be brought into power with the support of the apostate church, Revelation 17. He will make a covenant with the nation of Israel, Daniel 9, and he will be hailed as their Messiah, John 5, Jesus' declaration. And then the first part of his reign will be a period of peace and tremendous prosperity. Daniel 8:25 tells us how that the laboring people, the craftsmen, will prosper during his reign. He will inaugurate a new monetary system. And this whole new prosperous economy will be based upon a whole new monetary system in which money is to be eliminated. And all of your buying and selling will be done with an assigned mark that is placed on your right hand or in your forehead, and no one will be able to buy or sell unless they have this mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that is in Revelation chapter 13. Now, this mark is essential to buy anything or to sell anything, so that when you buy something, all you do is put your hand under the scanner, and it's equivalent of having a smart card. It's like an ATM card. Immediately, your bank account will be debited the amount that you just purchased. When you payday comes, you don't get a check. You don't have to go to the bank and endorse it. It's just automatically accredited to you in the bank. And all of the system will be kept in the computer. And you'll get your statement. Shows every time you held your hand out. This will be perhaps a computer chip or maybe a laser tattoo. But it will be necessary to buy anything or sell anything. Thus, immediately, much of the crime that we see will be eliminated. There's no sense a person stealing money from you because they can't spend the money. Money is of no value anymore. Now, already we see a big movement in this direction. Next door at the Shell station, if you have a card, you can just put it in the pump where you're getting your gas. You don't even have to go up to the little window. Just put your card in the pump, and that activates the pump, and you pump your gas, and then you pull your card out, and next month on your bank statement, you'll just see where you bought gas at that station, and the money was automatically debited to your account because it was all transacted through the computer when you just put your card in the pump. When you go to many of the markets, Lucky Markets and all, the ATM card, what you do is just give them their card, they put it in the little computer relay, and it automatically takes the money out of your account, debits your account, and it credits their account. And we're moving towards this checkless society because that's the last big nemesis that the banks have to get rid of, the processing of all of the checks. And they are moving towards the smart card, the ATMs and all, to get rid of having to deal with all of the paper and the processing of checks. And so, we see the systems coming into order. This system will be inaugurated by the Antichrist. He will force everyone to get on board. You won't be able to buy or sell unless you have this mark. Now, for 3.5 years, it's going to look great. The world is going to say, oh, this is the new age, the age of peace. We've evolved beyond wars. This is marvelous. But after 3.5 years, the bubble is going to burst. In his desire to be worshipped, he's going to come to Jerusalem to the rebuilt temple. And he's going to stand in the temple and declare that he is God. And they're going to demand that the world worship him as God. Jesus said, when this happens, talking to the Jews, he said, flee to the wilderness. Don't slow down. Don't come back into the city. If you're out in the field, just get out of here. Get into the wilderness where a place has been prepared. And we are told in Revelation chapter 12 that God gives to them wings of an eagle to bear them to the wilderness place where God will take care of them for 3.5 years. And we are told that at this point, when he comes to Jerusalem, to the temple, he stops the prayers, he stops the daily sacrifices, that he has 42 months that have been given to him until it's all over. 42 months in Daniel, Daniel, it says times time and a half time. Times is a year, times would be 2 years, half time, a half year, 3.5 years, 42 months. And Daniel gets even more specific. He says 1,290 days. So they're 360 day years. So from the time that he sets up himself in the temple declaring to be God, it'll be 1,290 days to the end. To the end of man's calamity of trying to reign over man. And that will bring the glorious sixth kingdom, the kingdom of God, with Jesus Christ, the rightful king of the earth. At this point, when the Jews flee, he will seek to get even with them, but God will protect them. He will seek to make war against the Jews. Those that do remain in Jerusalem, he will prevail against. He makes war against the saints and prevails against them. Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation 13, he makes war against the saints and overcomes them. But those are the Jews that did not flee to the wilderness. And having been frustrated in his attempt to destroy all of the Jews, he will begin to move towards Africa with his armies and troops, conquering Egypt, coming to the borders of Libya and Ethiopia, when he will receive word that Russia has mobilized what forces she has left and is combined with China and the nations of the East, who are moving their troops towards the Middle East to stop the aggression of this man of sin and his attempt to take Africa. And hearing the news that these massive forces are coming, he brings his troops back from their Africa expedition, and he meets the forces of Russia and the Middle and the East there in the valley of Megiddo, north of Jerusalem, just east of Haifa. And it is there that the Battle of Armageddon will be fought at the end of his reign. His reign will end with this tremendous battle there in the Valley of Megiddo, the final world conflict of man. While there, the time will come for Jesus to return to the earth, and he will then turn against Jesus. In Daniel 8:25, he tells us he will stand up against the Prince of Princes, that is Jesus, but he will be broken without a hand. Jesus won't even lay a hand on him. In Revelation 17:14, we are told that he will make war against the Lamb, that is Jesus, but the Lamb will overcome him. For he, the Lamb, is the Lord of lords and He is the King of kings. And we are Prince of princes, that is Jesus, but He will be broken without a hand. Jesus won't even lay a hand on Him. In Revelation 17:14, we are told that He will make war against the Lamb, that is Jesus, but the Lamb will overcome Him, for He, the Lamb, is the Lord of lords, and He is the King of kings. And we are told that He will be destroyed with the brightness of the coming of Jesus Christ. The Lord won't even lay a hand on Him, but the word that goes forth out of His mouth will seal His doom. And He and His false prophet will be cast alive into Gehenna, the place that God prepared for Satan and the angels. Now, the Bible tells us that this man of sin is being held in check by a hindering force in the world at the present time. And that hindering force will continue to hinder him from coming on the world scene until it is removed. The question then rises, what is the hindering force that is holding back the Antichrist from taking over now? And that hindering force is the power of the Holy Spirit in the church. As long as the church is here and the power of God's Spirit working in the church in the world, the Antichrist cannot be revealed. He cannot take over. The saints that he prevails against are Israel. They cannot be the church, because Jesus said concerning his church, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He cannot prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. And we, the church of Christ, are that hindering force that is keeping the Antichrist from being revealed. And that is why the spirit of Antichrist in the world today is so antagonistic against the church. We see the church being assailed by the world today. We see them making us sort of the bad guys. It's because of our religious bigotry that we have so much problem. If we would only be more accepting of the evil, more tolerant towards the evil, things would be all right. But we are being fingered as the real problem in the world today, because already the spirit of Antichrist is at work in our world. But once the church is removed, then there is nothing holding back this man of sin from being revealed and from inaugurating this fifth kingdom, the kingdom of darkness under the power of Satan, in which he will reign. Now, the church is to be removed from the earth. And we will look at this more carefully in a future study as we look at the rapture of the church. But when the church is caught out, then this man will be revealed. Once he is revealed, coming with all of his power, his miracles, his signs, the world will naturally then just say, "You see, it was them that kept us from having peace and prosperity." Because when the church is caught out, they're going to take over your car, your house, and everything else. There'll be tremendous prosperity. People will be looting everything and getting all of these things that you've left behind. And it's going to look to the world like, my, happy days are here. And he will deceive, even, if possible, the Jews, the elect. And many of them will be deceived by him. Now, Paul tells us something rather ominous. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, concerning him, verse 9 and 10, whose coming is after the working of Satan with power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they will believe a lie that they might be damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, a lot of people think, well, if I miss the rapture, then I'll just not take the mark of the beast, and I will be martyred in that period of time, and thus be saved. And they're sort of looking at that as an escape hatch. In fact, years ago when I was pastoring in Tucson, Arizona, a lady in our church had a husband who worked on the railroad, and he was just really tough. And he knew he was tough. He was just one of those tough, rugged men. And his wife had been witnessing to him for a long time, and I went over to witness to him. And he just said, I'm not interested in that stuff now. He said, and he went on. But he said, I'll tell you what, I'll never let them put a mark on me, you know. And he had enough understanding of prophecy to know that one day a mark was going to be put on everybody. And the angel warns people in Revelation chapter 14, if anybody takes the mark or worships the beast, the Antichrist, if you take that mark and worship him, your hope for salvation is gone forever. There's no hope. For those who take the mark of the beast or worship his image or worship the beast. But this fellow says, I'll never let them put a mark on me. Well, what the Lord here declares is that he will deceive those because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And so God shall cause them, God shall send to them a strong delusion that they might believe a lie, that they might be damned. So, if you reject the truth, if you refuse to believe the truth, then you're going to be in pretty tough shape because God says, all right, you don't want to believe the truth? Then I'll let you be deluded and I'll let you believe a lie. And it is amazing what preposterous things people will believe once they have rejected the truth. And especially if that person that is deceiving them seems to possess supernatural powers. I'm thinking of Sai Baba, this Indian guru that seems to possess supernatural powers, and how he is deceiving hundreds of thousands of Americans, professors from our colleges, judges, and important people are going over there to India to sit at the feet of Sai Baba, to watch his miracles and to follow his advice and teachings, for they believe that he is God incarnate in this little human form. And he declares that he is, that he's gone through the transition and he's entered into the God state. And to see the people sitting there adoring him, singing songs of worship and praise to him, as he sits there on his little throne. And you think, how can intelligent people believe that that man is God? And then, to think that if they ingest his body waste, that they can become more godlike. I mean, it's amazing the stupid things people will believe once they've rejected the truth. Because they did not believe the truth, God will send them a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. And if possible, even the elect will be deceived. And Revelation tells us, he did not believe the truth, God will send them a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. And if possible, even the elect will be deceived. And Revelation tells us that he will deceive all of those whose names were not written in the book of life. The world will be deceived by this man. But his end comes in judgment with the return of Jesus Christ. Now, what that means is today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to believe the truth. There's very little hope that you will make it if you reject the truth now. Very little chance that you will make it. Behold, today is God's day of salvation. Believe the truth today, and you won't have to face that delusion tomorrow. So we pray. Father, we see the powers of darkness as they are engulfing our world. We see the spirit of Antichrist that is in the world, even in the church. Lord, as so many are speaking out against our Lord Jesus Christ, questioning his virgin birth, questioning his resurrection, questioning the need of salvation. Oh Lord, we see these powers of darkness engulfing our world, and we see the world being ripened to receive the Antichrist. And Lord, we thank you for the blessed hope that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. We are going to be caught out, removed, before this man of sin is to be revealed. And Lord, we just pray that you will account us worthy to escape these things that are going to come to pass upon the earth, that we might stand before you. Lord, minister by your Holy Spirit to the hearts of those here today who have closed the door to Jesus Christ. And I pray that today your Spirit might knock on the door once more, and may they open the door and receive Jesus as their Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Have you believed the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that believeth on me shall never die, never perish. If you don't believe that truth, then God will just let you believe a lie. In fact, he'll do more. He'll give you a strong delusion. He'll just let you be deluded to believe the lie. How important it is that we believe the truth and hold to the truth. and hold to it in righteousness. The wrath of God shall be revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. You see, some people are holding the truth wrong. They're holding them in unrighteousness. Hold the truth in righteousness. Live a righteous life. Live a holy life. Live a godly life. Live for Jesus Christ. And you don't have to worry about the Antichrist and all this rest. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ, the glorious appearing of our God and Savior. I'm not worried about, you know, is he the Antichrist? Is he the Antichrist? Is Gorbachev? Is Hussein? That doesn't concern me a bit. I don't plan to be around. I don't plan to meet him. I don't have any desire to know him. And what a trick of the enemy to get everybody looking for the Antichrist, you know, instead of looking for Jesus Christ. Today is the day for you to believe the truth and to hold the truth in righteousness. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. Pastors and elders will be back there to pray with you, to lead you into the truth, that you might escape those things that are going to be coming to pass here upon the earth. May the Lord be with you and bless you, and may the Lord just guide you in all truth. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of Side 2 and the end of this cassette. If you'd like more information on books or tapes, or if you'd like a free catalog, please contact the Word for Today. Our address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Thank you.